With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. In 1959, Park Falls and the surrounding communities built a hospital for $375,000. Nearly 70 years later, modernization of those facilities cost about $35 million. Marshfield Medical Center held a grand opening for the newly improved Park Falls Hospital. WXPR's Katie Thorson reports.
The recently renovated Marshfield Medical Center in Park Falls now features an updated physical therapy gym, an outpatient pharmacy, reliable heat, air conditioning in the inpatient rooms, and a relocated urgent care, to name a few of the upgrades. The partial hospital replacement was announced in 2021. Seeing staff and community members gather to celebrate the changes Tuesday was an exciting moment for Lori McEwen, the Vice President of Operations and Patient Care Services at Park Falls. McEwen says her favorite moment so far was watching the reaction of a patient moving from the old unit to the new one.
Just his surprise and the elation. So the room he came from had no air conditioning. It was summertime. It was built in 1979. It shared a bathroom into a brand new state-of-the-art facility. He was elated. And that is what that, when I think about this project, that day really warms my heart. That's what it was about. It's really about those patients getting them into a comfortable room, feeling comfortable, knowing that it's not just the best care they're getting, but they're getting it in the best facility possible.
In addition to improving hospital stays and visits for patients, Marshfield is hoping the state-of-the-art facility will help attract healthcare workers, something that's been a growing challenge, especially in rural areas. Ty Erickson is the president of Marshfield Medical Center Park Falls.
When you look at the state of Wisconsin from a geography standpoint, Park Falls is in an area that is more rural than others. The next closest hospital is probably 50 to 60 miles in any direction. And so to ensure that we have access for people in Park Falls around the area to high level medical care, it was really needed to reinvest in our facility here, and we were able to do that.
Of the $35 million put into the project, $20 million came from Wisconsin's Healthcare Infrastructure Capital Grant Program that launched during the pandemic. Governor Tony Evers called the Park Falls project one of the crowning achievements of the program. For WXPR News, I'm Katie Thorson in Park Falls.
Attorney General Josh Call and others made a plea to parents and educators Monday, talk to your children about safe online behavior. That's especially needed when it comes to intimate photos of yourself and others.
The best way to protect children online is through maintaining and creating open lines of communication with your kids.
Call says the number of sextortion cases in the state is far outpacing previous years.
So far this year, the Wisconsin ICAC Task Force, which is led by our Division of Criminal Investigation, has received approximately 400 cyber tips related to sextortion. That's so far this year. That's up from approximately 230 cyber tips in 2024.
Call says to teach kids what healthy relationships look like and the importance of consent so they are comfortable speaking out if something doesn't feel right.
By giving them the tools to identify unsafe and unhealthy relationships and to reach out for help if it's needed.
Call was joined by Brittany Bird, the mother of Brandon Bone, who killed himself earlier this year after falling victim to sextortion.
The people who do this are trained on how to do this. They're trained on how to reach out to the most vulnerable population, which is our teenagers, those are our kids.
Call says his office has made resources available through the Office of School Safety to help kids learn how to be good online citizens. His announcement came one day after Suicide Prevention Day, and as the state legislature is considering a bill that would criminalize sextortion or threatening to release someone's images unless they pay up. A new national study reveals stark disparities in the treatment of young people in juvenile facilities, with neurodivergent youth of color facing the highest risk of physical assault by staff. More from Tramell Gomes.
The research based on federal survey data of youth in custody highlights what advocates call the criminalization of disability, from autism to ADHD and more. Emily Witra with the Prison Policy Initiative says the drivers of this victimization are the same as those behind their overrepresentation in the system.
There is a criminalization of all sorts of different behaviors that may be associated with neurodivergence, with specific diagnoses like autism, with behavioral concerns. concerns can be overrepresented in the criminal legal system because of sort of the criminalization of disabilities, mental health concerns.
The national findings, based on a 2018 survey of nearly 7,000 young people in custody, highlight a problem even in smaller state systems. Witra explains the overrepresentation of these vulnerable young people in the system begins long before confinement, which mirrors patterns in the adult justice system.
Policing and criminalization disproportionately target people of color. And so we see that in the youth system. At every step of the process, youth of color are more likely to be referred to the criminal legal system by the school. They're more likely to be arrested. They are more likely to be adjudicated, which is the equivalent of a sentence.
Witra's primary recommendation is to drastically reduce the number of young people in confinement, noting that racial disparities have worsened even as overall numbers have declined. I'm Tramell Gomes.
A Michigan judge has dismissed the criminal cases against 15 people accused of acting falsely as electors for President Donald Trump in the 2020 election. The district court judge decided in a Tuesday hearing the cases will not go to trial. Charges were brought by the state's Democratic Attorney General over 2 years ago. The people charged include a few high-profile members of the Republican Party in the battleground state. Each faced 8 charges of forgery and conspiracy to commit election forgery. The 15 had been accused of submitting certificates that falsely said Donald Trump won the election in Michigan in 2020, when in fact President Joe Biden carried the state. For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.